Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
And that is our prayer today, Lord, that God, that we will sense your Holy Spirit in each one of us and in this church, that we will sense that you are alive, that you're not one that's hanging on a cross still, that you are the resurrected, the Savior of our life and the Lord of our life. You are the one that did what no other man has ever done. You are the one that has completed what no other God has ever tried. You are our Elohim, El Shaddai, Emmanuel. God, you are with us. And we thank you, Lord, for just being here today. Speak through all of us. Allow your words to penetrate each one of our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to have you. And while Sal is coming down, you may not know this, but that's your song, right, Sal?
I think so.
Yeah. He wrote the song. He is alive. And so give him a hand. It's probably one of my favorite songs that we do. And I heard it for the first time. I was like, man, I love that song. And he said, thanks. Meaning I thought just someone, he was just singing the song, but no, he actually wrote it, and they put it to music, and we just have a talented praise team that can put things to music, and we are truly blessed by that. I'm excited, yeah. Well, I'm excited that you're here. This morning starts the very beginning of a brand new series, and probably my favorite book in the whole entire Bible, the book of Acts. So if you want to go ahead and start turning to the book of Acts, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, your four Gospels, and then it turns into Acts. The Unfinished Story is my title. The Unfinished Story. And each week it's my prayer to share with you the purpose behind the book of Acts. It's always been a dream of mine. For those that yet know me, and I've shared this several times from here, to go to the Coca-Cola plant, to be able to see how the original Coke is made, to see what it takes for the people and the machines to create this perfect formula, this right formula, this perfect formula to create this world-class soft drink. Now, I know many of you guys have your own flavors and your own taste, but Coke is special to me. It's a product that is expected to be tasted and enjoyed by every single person in the world. And not just once, but throughout their whole entire life. I know, is Alice here? There's Alice. Alice Ivy is here. Alice can testify with me. Alice, I think, drinks a bottle of Coke, at least two or three bottle of Cokes a day. And she loves Coca-Cola as much as I love Coke. Jen has a Coke machine that I've inherited, that she's planning on giving to me. It's in her will, right? She said it publicly. Coke spends more on advertising than Microsoft and Apple combined. Almost $3 billion a year. $2.9 billion to be exact. America ingests 1.7 million tons of sugar that Coke develops, 11 pounds for each of us, 11 pounds. If you want to lose weight, stay off the Cokes. I have not mastered that yet, so I'm not going to lead by example. They sell Cokes in more than 200 countries. 200 countries have Coca-Cola. And one that you may not know, Coke makes so many products that if you drink just one per day, it would take you 9 years to drink all the Coca-Cola products that they make. That's how many different things that Coke makes. Isn't that crazy? I had no idea they made that much stuff. There's never been another product like this. Many have come close. Many are still working very, very hard at creating this product. But it's this formula. It's this formula. It's this brand. It's this company. It's this product that truly has changed the whole entire world. When you say you want a Dr. Pepper, oftentimes people just say, do you have Coke? It's just that popular. When you mean Coke, you may mean Sprite, you may mean Pepsi, you may just mean Coke. But most people just say, hey, do you have a Coke? That's how popular this product and the brand that it carries. And when it comes to the church, and when it comes to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to others, there is no other place to look than to look in the book of Acts to see the perfect formula, to see the perfect triune, the Trinity, God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit working together to create what it wants to create. And those people who have tasted the love and the life of Jesus Christ, those people that have tasted it, want to share that with other people. They want to tell other people about this product, about this taste. I've tasted something, and I don't know what's all in it. I can't tell you what's in the recipe. I can't tell you how they make it. I can't tell you where it's even made from. But all I can tell you is that this product, this what I am tasting of Jesus Christ, is unbelievable. And I want you to taste it as well. Have you ever had a taste? Have you ever tasted Christ? Have you ever heard a sermon from something or heard a song from somewhere or met someone in your life that has invested in you and gave you a taste of something? You say, man, I want that all day long. I want that all day long. I want to be filled with that all day long. And you leave from there and you can't not help but go home. You cannot help but go to the church. You cannot help but go to somewhere in their community or your workplace and tell about this product that you've just tasted. And the Apostle Luke is the author of this book. He also wrote Luke in the New Testament, one of the Gospels, but he wrote this one as well. Writing down true events and being a witness of many, many things that took place. Writing his story. And we too are going to write our own story. From the day that you became in Christ, when you became a Christian, your story really, truly just began. But what happened in your past, you get to write that in your story. Has anything happened in your past that significantly changed your life that ended up allowing you to write the new chapter of your life that says, now I'm in Christ and I want to tell you what God has done in my life from my past? Let me ask you, church, how do you want to write your story today as a believer in Christ? How do you want to write your story? If you're truly listening here today, your life is still being written today. In Acts chapter 1, the fifth writing in the New Testament, my prayers, our church will be a church about multiplication and distribution. It's about multiplication. It's about distribution, just as the Coca-Cola company, their mission was to do that. Are we maximizing our gifts, our times, our talents, our resources to be the church that God has intended us to be? Are we truly investing in people and hearing God's word and wanting them to grow in Christ? Acts will clearly show you have movement like no other book in the Bible. The book of Acts has two parts to it. It has a prescription of how we should live our life, but it's also a descriptive about what happened in the past. And we get to look back. Most of us, when we open up the Bible, we look at it as a descriptive. We look at it as a way that, okay, this happened to them. That's great. But I'm now living right now. What am I supposed to do right now in my life? Well, the book of Acts is it. The book of Acts is a continuation of the disciples, of the apostleships with us in our life. And in reading the Gospels, we are often considered the audience, as I just said. Right now, when we read about the Gospels, we are just considered the audience. But in the book of Acts, we are the ones on stage getting the opportunity to act. We're getting the opportunity. It's not just so much that we're reading about it and you guys are listening, but you get to actually play in the audience. You're actually on stage performing every day in your life what you want other people to see about Christ every day. So not only is it a prescription, it's also a descriptive. It's both going into play with each other, but you get to play in the on stage. You get to perform. How are you performing? What is your life like right now where you're getting to perform? Many of us still want to stay in the audience and say, I'd rather just listen. I'd rather just watch. Give me my popcorn and my Coke. I'll stand in the audience and I'll just enjoy the game. Many of us don't want to be participants in the game. And many of us, it is our dream to go out on the field or on the court or up on stage and to be able to perform. It was never my dream to come up here. I'll be honest with you. It was never my dream to come up here. It was never a part of my plan and never part of my prayer to come up here on stage and to be able to tell you that. But God has a funny sense of humor sometimes. Sometimes we don't think that we can do certain things, so we try to limit God or we limit ourselves of what we are actually capable of doing. And I'm here to tell you that you are given more opportunities than you'll ever know. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Who is this guy? O Theophilus, who is this guy? This is two times, if you were to look in Luke, you would see this guy show up. Now he's writing again, and guess what? This guy's name shows up again. This does not happen very often, but Luke is writing to this particular person. So we got to know who this person is. And who is it? We don't really know. We can only guesstimate. We only can try to tell you who this man is. The greatest theologians in the world debate on who this man is. So I'll give you a few possibilities on who they say this Theophilus, who he's written twice to, who this person is. First, some say that he's a first century lawyer for Luke to defend against all the people who was defending against Saul and Paul in the Roman government. Some people believe he was a lawyer. Some people believe that he was an influential man of Antioch who supported Luke and Paul, who was a very, very influential, very, very wealthy man. Some people believe that he was a high government official. The reason why? Because in the Greek, Christos, which means most excellent. And when he talks about this particular person, he's calling him most excellent. And so most theologians believe that most likely he was a high, influential, either wealthy man or a person of government stature, since he keeps calling him, O excellent, or the most excellent one. Acts 1, 2 through 11. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles of whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive. After his suffering, by many infallible proofs, meaning that he proved that he was the one that resurrected from the dead. All these infallible, that means there's no error. It's infallible, meaning that there was proof and proof in front of all these men that Jesus was alive. Being seen by them for 40 days. Not just one day, not 2 days, not just for a half an hour, for 40 days. Men and women saw him. And speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And after being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they have come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But watch this. This is the key verse. But you shall receive the what? Thank you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. One reason we need to study the book of Acts is because it gives us the standard to look at. Often churches are trying to copy other churches. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been to one church and you see similar things at another church? And some things that work, and sometimes we've looked at other churches in the community and across other places, and we say, wow, that's really cool. That's really neat. That's amazing. That's wonderful. That's awesome. We look at their trends. We look at their styles. We look at their formats. We listen to their sermons. We copy their websites. We do all these different things. And we realize, you know what? What God is doing in that church may be not be exactly what God is doing in our church, and vice versa. You have churches like Saddleback, Willow Creek, Lake Point, First Baptist Dallas, Watermark. You have all these different churches, unbelievable churches, wonderful pastors, wonderful congregations, wonderful ministries, all these wonderful things. But are we them? No. We're Living Hope Baptist Church, a part of the church. A part of the church. We're all a part of the church. And what works for them may not always work for us. I know that because I started four churches. I was a part of four churches I started. Two of them are still in existence and two of them are already gone. Somehow the formula got mixed up. When it was trying to be Coca-Cola, Saddleback, or Willow Creek, it tasted like Mr. Pibb. Or even worse, Tab, which no longer is in existence. How many of you guys remember Tab? All you old school people with me. Hey, I remember it too. Mr. Pibb. It's supposed to be Dr. Pepper, but it's a flat Dr. Pepper and a cheap one. Tab no longer in existence. But we want to be Coca-Cola. But maybe God has designed us and our church to taste like something that's never been made before. Just like Coke is continuing creating a new church, a new product, a new brand, a new drink. Why? Because there's enough to go around. There's enough to go around for everyone to taste a product. When we copy from other churches, it can lead us away from the original look, which is here in Acts. What happens when you make a copy? How many of you guys have ever made a copy of something? I got to wake you guys up. How many of you guys, you made a copy of something? How many of you guys have made a copy of a copy of something? How many of you guys have ever made a copy of a copy of a copy of something and you no longer can read it anymore? If Mike Wilburn is in here, if he's listening out there, he knows. He's in the printing business. The best thing to use is the original. If you want to get a clear look at something and you want to be able to really read it and you really want to understand it and you really want to get the best of it, one, you either got to have the original or you better only make one copy of it. And our one copy is the book of Acts. This is the original copy. If you want to know how to lead a church, if you want to know what the church is supposed to look like, if you want to know what our purpose is and what we're supposed to be as the church, then this is the original. This is the formula. This is the way that we do it. It's not through another church. It's through the book of Acts. Amen. And what I love about Luke was his commitment to write down what was the truth as he was watching these things. In Luke 1, 3 through 4, it says, I myself carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent, for you, O Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. We have a true doctor that is writing the details, the prescription of how to be the church and what he witnessed. And the truth is I want to share about the book of Acts, as we do this introductory about this book, as we get into this whole entire book. Verse 8 is the key anchor that holds this whole book together. If we miss this verse, if you run past this verse, if you walk around this verse, if you did not hear me because maybe you were thinking about something else, it's verse 8 is the whole preface of this whole entire book. It talks about Jesus' power, about the Holy Spirit's power. It talks about His purpose. It talks about His plan for our life. Verse 8, here we go. I want to read it. But you shall receive what? You shall receive what? It's just power. We just receive His power. Isn't that how we live our life, though? We live our life like we're reading it right now. We live our life like we're just... That's good. Shut up, Troy. Just keep going. It's just power. But you shall receive His what?
Power.
You got to believe it. You have to believe it. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and in our part, to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit has miraculous power. That's the first thing I want you to know. The best illustration of God's power through the Holy Spirit is through the lives of these disciples, of through these apostles. There's no way that on their own, we got fishermen, we got doctors, we got tent makers, we got people that in no way, shape, or form should have the ability to do the things that you're about to read in here. If you've never read this book, if you don't understand what we're about to get into, you're about to see some things happen that you're going to say, how in the world would God use these people? You already know maybe from some of them. How in the world is Peter walking on water? How is that person able to heal that person? How is that person being able to withstand that persecution? How is that person able to teach like that? How is that person able to do what he was doing? Why? Because of his miraculous power through you. You got to believe that you're not too young and you're not too old and you're not too this and you're not too that to not receive that power. It's that same power in Him and these people is the same power in us. You receive the same God Almighty that these people received. But from a human standpoint, 1:8 does not make sense. There's no way that God can use these people to continue to change the world. I mean, they all fled 11 different directions when He went up on the cross. They all fled. But 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He who is in you than what? Man, you guys know your scriptures, don't y'all? 1 John 4:4, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Why? Because who is in you? The power of the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough because we don't believe in it enough. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough because we can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't touch it. It doesn't talk to us audibly, so we discount it. But when the power shows up, when you begin to see someone's life change, and when you begin to see your life change, or when you see a miracle take place, or when you see forgiveness take place when it shouldn't take place, or when you see love for the unloved take place, or when you see the streets out there in Dallas and all around the world being changed, then you'll begin to see that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. But most people don't believe it, and most people don't care about it. Why? Because greater is He who's in you than he that is in the world. The fact of the matter is, if we do not believe in the power, then we are missing everything. We're missing everything. Maybe we just think of ourselves as being powerful enough. I don't need God. I don't need the Holy Spirit. Look at me. I'm a tough guy. I can do this. I can stand for myself. I'm not afraid of anything or anybody. A.W. Tozer, the great theologian, the great writer, he says this, Tozer says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the churches today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would even know the difference. I pray that that will never be Living Hope Baptist Church. Man alive, I pray. Can I ask you, church, do you ever feel, though, in your life right now, in the big scheme of things, do you ever feel like your life is pointless? It's like you're here. It's like you want to be a part of what God's doing, but you feel like I'm just like playing this insignificant role. Do you ever feel that way? That you're part of the play, that you're a part of it, but it's insignificant? Watch this. You ever felt like that? Throughout my life, I feel like I was the one just... But without that note, that's a pretty significant note, wasn't it? Even though the whole church may be playing this major orchestra and doing all these amazing things, and all of a sudden, sometimes we just feel like we're just doing this. But without that, you don't have the song. Without that, you don't have the church. I'm sure that the disciples felt that way when they were with Jesus, watching him conduct and do all the things. And I bet James was just, his brother was just going like this. I bet their friends, when Jesus ascended into heaven and they were hanging out with the apostles, I bet they felt like they were just this, around the apostles. I bet times in our life, when we're reading this book and we're just saying in this power, we feel like that. I saw this image on Facebook. You can put it up. Imagine that guy. At the Olympics on swim meets, Imagine being a lifeguard for Michael Phelps and all the people. Could you imagine? That is almost like Troy sitting in the pews under Billy Graham, just in case he might mess up and may need a little help preaching that day. But guess what? What happens if Michael Phelps gets cramps? What happens if Michael Phelps has a heart attack? First people they're going to go to is that lifeguard. I want to tell you that all of you here today, each one of you is playing an important instrument in God's kingdom, at your work, at your school, in your community, here in this church. When you're clothed by the Holy Spirit, it's that what? That power that you cannot explain. This is why Jesus left. He had to leave his earthly body and he had to ascend so that the Holy Spirit now can go to every single person. Why? Because he's 100% man. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man. And when he ascended into heaven, he at that time could be in you and be in you and be in you and you and you and you and all 5 billion people in the world that would want to receive him, that would want to taste this product. Because once you taste that product, it's going to change your life. You're going to want more of it. You're not going to want to put it down. You're not going to say, oh, this is too bitter. Oh, this is too sugary. Oh, this is too gross. This is too whatever. No, you taste the product of Jesus Christ, it will change your life. You're never going to want to put it down. The second thing that we see with the Holy Spirit in this verse is the miraculous purpose for someone's life. How do we become witnesses throughout the Holy Spirit day to day? Well, I got my family to take care of, though. I don't have a time to be a witness. You're called to ministry, Troy. The Sunday school teacher, let the missionaries do their thing. I got a family to take care of. I got bills to pay. I got a sickness to get fixed. I got a boss to make happy. I got a marriage to work on. I got a teenager I got to deal with. I got a vacation I got to take. I got a hobby to do. My life has me by the throat, and I want to just do what I want to do. Why? Because I know I got my 80 years to get everything in. And as Christians, the Holy Spirit, when it dwells in us, it has a job to do, to govern us, to protect us, to convict us. But most of all, it leads us always to the lordship of who Jesus Christ is. Did you know that? Did you know that the Holy Spirit leads you and I to the lordship? He wants you to know who's first in his life, in your life, in my life. Who is Lord of your life? Only you can answer that. It may be you. It may be someone else. Who is Lord of your life? The Holy Spirit's purpose is to testify that you are his child. There are things I do and I don't want to do because why? Jesus is my Lord. There are places I go and don't go because Jesus is my Lord. I'm speaking to me. There are jobs I go to try and get and don't get because Jesus is my Lord. There are things I give up on and things I give into because Jesus is my Lord. There are things I give my money to and things that I should not. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. There are the people who I choose to be really close to and not close to. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. There are things I'm going to post on Facebook and on Twitter, and there's things that I'm not. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. There are people I will vote for and not vote for. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. There is a way I will lead and not lead my home. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. There are people I need to learn to love and forgive. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. And there is people I need to share Christ to. Why? Because I'm running out of time. And Jesus is my Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us this opportunity to witness, and there's power behind it. I love this verse. John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Jesus says, you believe in me, you'll get to do the works that I have been doing. And watch this. This is even cooler. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. What did I say you're going to get? Power. When he ascended up into heaven, you received the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to do greater things. Now, there's some false teaching out there. Does that mean next Monday? Does that mean tomorrow? When I bring my sandwich, I'm going to bring a Twinkie, a turkey sandwich, I'm going to bring a bottle of Coke and a pudding. Does that mean that I can say, God, I got 85 teachers I don't need to feed. Bless this turkey sandwich and go henceforth. And am I going to be able to feed those people? Well, if God wants that to happen, he'll make that happen. But I don't see that happening. Does that mean the next time I go to a funeral, do I tell the director, just stand back for a second, he's only been asleep. He's just sleeping. He'll get up. Rise. Rise. If Jesus wants that to happen, he'll make that happen. But that would be false teaching if I told you that. What he's saying is that the goal and the witness is to do more than he was able to do. By reaching more people, reaching more the unlovely, reaching more to the poor, reaching more the needy, reaching more the orphans, reaching more the widows, reaching more with our gifts to treat others the way that they need to be treated in our world. Turn on the news, my goodness. Turn on the news the past week. If there's groups that need to know about the power of the Holy Spirit and about love and forgiveness and how to work together and how this world can be changed and made more cohesive together, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through any other way. This is how ministry and God's word is multiplied in the hearts. We got to leave our Jerusalem. We got to be in our Jerusalem, but we also got to leave it. We have to always think about the ends of the earth mentality. We can't just stay in our one place, but my goodness, if we're not even doing it in our own place, if we're not even doing it in our own homes, if we're not willing to do it in our own church, there should not ever be a guest here that does not ever feel the presence of the Holy Spirit or the presence of you involved in their life when they come here and leave here every day. And number three, the last thing. The Holy Spirit has a miraculous people to work through. John 12:32 says, and I, Jesus, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. I love the Rocky movies. How many of you guys have seen the Rocky movies? Sylvester Stallone. I love them. My favorite one is Rocky 2. And I don't know if you remember this, but Adrian, she was in a coma, and she was out for the count. And Rocky had been, you know, training and getting ready to fight, and then all of a sudden, his whole world goes down. His wife, who he loves, is laying there. They have a child, and she's laying there, and she just delivered. And she's laying there next to the baby, and Rocky is like telling Adrian, hey, man, I'll think of another way. I'll think of another way besides to fight. And he's talking to her. And she's listening to him. Because he's talking to her and saying, I'll find another way to make a living, to take care of you. I'm just glad that you're here. And those that remember, she whispered to him, there's one thing I want you to do for me. And he said, what? She said, come closer. And he said, what? Anybody remember what he said? What she said? When? 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 And my favorite part of the whole thing. You see Mick, his trainer, in the background, understanding completely. It's time to just call it quits. Understanding his wife is down. You need to be there. And when she says it, look at his face. When she says, when you hear the music, dong. Dong, dong. And he says, and he screams out, what are we waiting for? Best part of the whole entire movie. The best line of the whole entire movie. What are we waiting for? Church, what are you waiting for? If you're watching things around you and you're down and out, or maybe you feel like you've been knocked out, if you're here today, you ain't knocked out. If you're here listening, you're not knocked out. Until you are in the presence of the Lord Almighty, you are not knocked out. You're not. It's not over with. It's still going. Pull yourself up. Win. Grab the ropes. Do whatever you got to do and get yourself up. And know that it's not over with. The Holy Spirit says to each one of us, win. Keep pressing on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on to the goal to win the prize. You and I were the ones he was talking to when he said to the ends of the earth. Please don't misunderstand that. He was talking to us. He was talking to us on that part, to the ends of the earth. He wasn't talking to the apostles. He was talking to us. It's that same power that was in them is the same power in you. It's the unfinished story. So my question is to you, how will you write it? How will you write your story? And go win. Let's pray. Father, those that know you here today know that the story is being written. That the book is not closed, the chapter's not over with. It's not over. And people that may have felt like their life has been over because maybe they lived a certain way and they said, you know what, I've already done too much wrong. I've already done so much bad. There's no way that there's a new chapter. There's no way that there's a new forgiveness. There's no way that there's a new unconditional love. There's no way that God can forgive me for this and be able to move in my life and radically change me. There's no way I can be that instrument that God wants to pour out and play unbelievable symphony through me. And the ones that feel like they're just that same beat, that same note over and over and over, remember that they play a vital part in the orchestra. Every single person is significant. And the day when that note is not being played, we'll know that something is missing. We're missing people here. We're missing some of the people in this church playing these unbelievable notes and instruments, and we need everybody. We need every single person playing their part so the orchestra is full and powerful and life-changing. Wherever we go, Lord, will you use us? And I pray that, God, that today, if there's anyone here that feels like they are insignificant, you show them the power. You show them that power. I still remember just looking at camp. I still remember looking at that light in camp and saying, God, if you'll use me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You used my father to give me the money, the resources, to be able to go and to have my life changed. Why? Because you were the father of my father. We're all playing a role in the lives of others. Whether you're a child or whether you're a teenager or whether you're an adult, if you're here today or if you're here listening, your story is being written. In Christ's name, amen.